Well, good morning, church. For those of you who are new or visiting, my name is Luke Korthus. I serve as one of the pastors here on staff, and I'm so glad that you are here with us this morning. As we get started, I have to share a little experience from my life. I love sharing my life stories with you. So since college, I picked up the running bug, okay? It seems strange to pay somebody to run a race, but each year, thousands of people get conned into paying $100 or more to run a marathon, okay? And I am one of those people. I promise it was worth it. I remember the start of the Twin Cities Marathon in 2017. We're all corralled at the start line with thousands of other runners. The air was cold and everybody was anxious to get started. And then you hear the first wave of runners start to go. You start moving forward and the anxiety of the next 4 hours of pain, it's like right at the front of your mind. At this point, you don't realize quite how terrible it's going to be. Then it's time. The gun shoots and everyone is off. You know, I was grateful for some of the people here at Salem Covenant Church that ran with me during the marathon, Shelley Streeper being one of them. I remember the first 15 miles or so being awesome. You'll see up here a picture that was taken during the first 15 miles. I was just loving life, you know, it was the best. And then I hit a wall. Shelly decided to go on ahead and I had to walk for a bit. And maybe it was because I had taken some bacon and Skittles from somebody handing it out on the side of the road. It seemed like a good idea at the time. I remember, though, I was getting to the end. I got to mile 24. There was 2 miles left, and I was empty. I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to make it. And I remember looking over to my right and seeing my friend Hallie running next to me. Hallie might have been able to keep on going, but she took the time to run next to me and finish the race with me. Hallie helped me finish the race that day, and I was grateful for her act of service of running with me when she could have kept on going. That idea of an act of service to another is what we're going to be talking about today. But before we get too far, I think we should recap where we have been in this blessed series. 3 weeks ago, Pastor Jonna talked about this practice of beginning with prayer. Pastor Jonna described this as setting up the sail so that the Holy Spirit would catch the sail and move us in the right direction. We were challenged to think about one or two or three people in our lives that don't know Jesus that we can be praying for this month. The second week, Pastor Mark talked about listening well. This was a practice of listening to others with care and actually hearing what others have to say. In addition, Pastor Mark talked about listening for the Holy Spirit and the movements for these divine interruptions. These times when God gives us an opportunity to serve others or to bless others. Last week, we talked about eating together, and I love this because I love food. And Pastor Mark described how EAT, the word, it could be used as an acronym, extending arms toward. This act of extending arms toward was something that Jesus did constantly throughout the Gospels. And often Jesus was eating and spending time with people that didn't necessarily have the best of reputations. We were given the challenge to eat with or bless somebody that was on our list. At the end of the service, too, we got one of these bracelets. These bracelets have the words, "Make me a blessing," written on them. And this is our physical reminder to find opportunities to be a blessing throughout your day to others. If you missed it last week, we're going to have some extra bracelets on the way out so you can grab one and have this as your physical reminder. So this brings us to our fourth week in our series. And our premise for today is that we are to serve with love. Service is something that is consistently connected to Christianity. The great Christians of history all served other people in some way or another. Mother Teresa, Martin Luther King Jr., and of course, Jesus. The tension that I struggle with, and maybe you do too, is that sometimes serving others is inconvenient and it costs time and money. I like the idea of serving others on my own time when it's convenient for me. Packing food for others? Sure, I have a couple hours to do that. Or serving a meal? Sure, that doesn't cost me much. But going out of my way to serve someone with love? That is where it gets messy. I think about a neighbor that struggles to shovel or mow their lawn or rake their leaves. I think about a college student struggling with the pressures of school and loneliness. I think about those in our own community that would love a visitor. I think about walking through life and helping to serve and support a single mom or a single dad. These are costly and inconvenient. These opportunities to serve often come when we least expect it and can be so easy to turn a blind eye to the divine interruption in front of us. I don't know about you, but it can be hard to serve others with love. But as I began to reflect on the passage of scripture that we have for today, I was challenged by what kind of life I wanted to live. I was struck by how Jesus selflessly put others first. Jesus led by example and showed us how we are to practically serve our neighbor with love. So, as we dive into this very familiar passage for many of us, this is the tension that I want you to hold. Serving others, serving the one or two or three people that are on your list is difficult at times. It's going to cost you something. But what I believe we are going to see here is that God longs to love others through you. And it's not going to be easy. Jesus never promised that. It's going to be inconvenient and messy. It may cost you something. And I believe as we look together to God's word, we will see that these acts of service can be the way that people are able to see the love of God through you. So, let's turn together to John chapter 13. And if you don't have a Bible, we want to make sure that you go home with one today. So connect with one of us pastors, and we'd love to make sure you go home with a Bible today. But let's look together at this passage, John 13, 1 through 17. Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from the world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." And Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not only my feet, but my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason, he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, he had put on his robe and had returned to the table. He said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you should go and do as I have done to you. Very truly, I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." All right, so let's take some time to kind of break this passage down a bit. He says these words, having loved his own. There is a love that Jesus has for all people, and then there's this love for his own, his disciples, the people that he had walked through life with, the people that respond to his love. It's not that the love is different. It's just the dynamic of the love relationship is different. This deeper relationship, this deeper love is something that God is calling all of us to. And it really helps to set the stage for what is about to happen. We see that Jesus stands up. He grabs a towel and a basin of water. He walks over to the disciples and begins washing their feet. I can imagine the scene now. You know, I could see the disciples whispering to each other, like, "What's he doing over there? Like, what's going on?" Like, and then the look on their face when their rabbi knelt and started washing their feet. It had to be a scene for sure. But I was then thinking about how dirty those feet had to be. You know, in those days, they had to walk everywhere. They couldn't just wait for the Uber to pick them up, okay? So they had to dust and dirt, and they also had quite a few animals wandering about back then. And I have to imagine it was not uncommon for them to step in the droppings of said animals. Super gross. It reminds me of a time when I volunteered to dog sit for the Streeper family when they were on vacation. I never grew up with a dog, and I've learned very quickly why I do not own a dog, okay? I love dogs, especially from afar. I love dogs, but I learned that they are a ton of work. And one thing I learned pretty quickly is that dogs have to go to the bathroom quite often. So one night, I was taking both dogs out for a walk. One was a puppy, and one was 10 years old. The older dog I had no issues with, but the puppy always seemed to want to go the opposite direction that we were going. The older dog was going to the bathroom and doing his business, and like a good dog sitter, I went over and picked it up. But while I was doing that, the puppy went to the bathroom right in the middle of the road. And so as I got up and turned, and I stepped straight into it, and no lie, did a cartoon slip and fell right into the dog poop. I can imagine it was quite the scene for any neighbor that was watching out their window. But that smell is something that still haunts me to this day. And likely that is the same smell that Jesus was dealing with when he was washing his disciples' feet. Taking the job of the lowest in the household, he humbled himself to serve these men. It's unbelievable. Commentator Elizabeth Johnson talks about how Peter gives voice to the scandal of Jesus' actions. Lord, are you going to wash my feet? When Jesus says that Peter will understand what he is doing later, Peter objects even more strongly. Like, you will never wash my feet. Here, as in Mark, Jesus corrects Peter. He says, unless I wash you, you have no share with me. To which Peter responds, Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus' next response to Peter is a bit cryptic and perhaps makes use of a traditional proverb. One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. His statement seems to suggest that one's relationship to Jesus has cleansing power that lasts. And it will soon be clear how utterly dependent Peter and the others are on this gift of grace. And Jesus adds, and you are clean, though not all of you. And the writer explains, for he knew who was to betray him, and for that reason he said, not all of you are clean. See, this statement brings us to the greatest scandal of this story. It is astonishing enough that Jesus takes the role of a slave and washes the dirty feet of the disciples. But even more astounding is the fact that he does so knowing full well that they will all fail him miserably in his greatest hour of need. Jesus insists on washing the feet of Peter, knowing full well that Peter will deny him to save his own skin. What is more, Jesus stoops and washes the feet of Judas, knowing full well that Judas has already conspired against him. John tells us in 13:2 that the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray Jesus. And Jesus indicates several times in this chapter that he is fully aware of this reality. Yet even with Judas, cold, calculating, backstabbing Judas, Jesus' love remains unwavering. Jesus washes Judas' dirty feet along with all the other disciples and then says, do as I have done to you. Jesus' example suggests that loving as he has loved means taking the role of a servant, caring for the needs of others without expecting anything in return. And Jesus actually is going to receive betrayal and denial as his return. His example suggests that it is to do this not only for those who treat us well, but for those who disappoint us and hurt us and betray us. Of course, we all fall short of God's perfect love, but that cannot be an excuse to nurse grudges or to wallow in unloving behavior. As we are washed with Jesus in God's deep and generous love, our hearts are stretched to love others. So this is where we now stand. We see this extravagant example of Jesus serving his disciples with love. We see Jesus living out what he said in Matthew 20:28, when he said, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." So what does this mean for us today? What can we take away from this? Well, I think that the first thing that we can learn is that serving with love is costly. Serving with love is costly. Going out of your way to put someone else first is going to cost you something. You know, it may cost you time. Time is something that is a precious commodity in our society. It seems like we're always looking for more time and we never have enough. Serving with love involves sacrificially taking time to put others before yourself. It takes time to visit somebody in the hospital or someone who is incarcerated. It takes time to send notes to others, or it takes time to celebrate somebody's birthday or make a meal for someone who is struggling. It all takes time. Serving with love will also cost money. You know, money is another commodity that we seem to never have enough of. And when thinking about serving others, there is often a cost that is involved. It costs money to buy and make food for others. It costs money to send cards or to buy a special gift for someone. It may be the loss of money because you're working to help somebody versus working overtime. So serving others costs us time, it costs us money, and may also cost you your reputation. I would say that we all generally value our reputations. We want to be seen as successful or popular, but we don't necessarily see that in the actions of Jesus. Serving others with love often costs Jesus his reputation in the eyes of the religious leaders. Sitting next to the person that sits alone at the lunch table, or getting to know the person in the office that no one likes, may cost you your reputation or your popularity. So serving with love will cost us our time, our money, our reputation, and it will almost always cost you control. We have a natural bend as humans to seek and look out for our own needs. As I was writing the sermon this week and reflecting on this passage, I was convicted by this point. I often don't like to be inconvenienced, and I want everything to go as I planned and, you know, have it under my control. So when those divine moments pop up where I could tangibly reach the needs of others and those around me by serving, I try to find an excuse. I don't know about you, but this is a hard thing. Serving others is easy to talk about, but when it actually happens, it's difficult to live out. So, it's clear that serving others with love is going to cost us something. So why? Why would we do this? Because the Bible tells us so? Because Jesus led by example? Yes, absolutely. But I also believe this. Though serving others is costly, serving others with love is completely and totally worth it. When we serve others, we have the opportunity to show God's love through our actions. We are able to live out who we were created to be. We have the opportunity to share the gospel as God speaks through our actions. We have the opportunity to better reflect the body of Christ caring for and loving each other. You know, I'll be honest, when I have these moments when I can serve my neighbor, it may seem inconvenient at the time, but when I am done, I never regret it. I never regret taking the time to serve someone. I always find joy in being able to fill a need. This joy is what we receive, even through the challenges. We don't serve others and expect something material back. We serve others with love, and we're blessed as we serve. So think about the one or two or three people on your list. What is one way that you can serve that person or those people this week? What I am thinking about with my list is, how can I provide for the very practical needs of that person on my list? So I want you to take out your bulletin insert. You'll find this little sheet in your bulletin, and flip to the back side. Here you will see that there are some serving samples. These are practical ideas for you as you begin to think about how you might be able to serve the people on your list. And friends, it doesn't need to be this huge thing, like moving to Calcutta to serve orphans. Maybe it is. But likely it is something small and simple that you can do to start to create a pattern of serving with love in your life. You know, maybe it's hosting a dinner for the people on your list, or shoveling the snow that will be coming, or making somebody's birthday special. praying for somebody on the spot, not just saying that you will and forgetting. Keeping somebody company or visiting a shut-in. Caring for a spouse or helping somebody else care for their spouse. Or just sending a card of encouragement to someone. Whatever it is, I challenge you to think of something. One small step that you can take to create this pattern of serving others with love in your life. So what will be your next step? Often you will never really know the impact of a simple act of service to another. It could end up being the reason that someone is able to see God's love tangibly. It could be the confirmation that someone needed to know that God still loves them and cares for them. It all starts with a simple act of service in love. So as we finish, I want to remind you that serving with love is costly, but serving others with love is completely and totally worth it. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for the example of service to humanity that we see in your Son, Jesus. Lord, help us to create a pattern of serving others with love in our own lives. Lord, help us to see the needs around us and to have the courage and the willingness to step up to meet those needs. Lord, help us to be known as people who serve selflessly, who love greatly, and who walk humbly with you. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.